Welcome to Podcast This Escape, the podcast where we talk about the escape room we escaped from in the previous episode of this podcast. Roses, Matt, congratulations, you did it.
Yeah, we won't say that you escaped, but you accomplished
accomplished your goals.
Yay, thank you.
You vanquished an evil swarm.
Not what I thought we were doing, but...
I told you we couldn't assume it's a vampire. I told you.
You did.
I did.
It's a flea circus. The clues were there all the time.
Yeah. You know, even after I knew he was a pile of fleas, I hadn't put together flea circus.
That's so funny. I love that. I was going to say that Matt is so good at logical puzzles, and I am more good at, like, conversation and dialogue and, like, finding things. I think that's why we strived here, because Matt is so good at logic puzzles. He killed that the shape color puzzle.
Yeah, hey, well done on that. But yeah, there's a lot. Like, we try to make it so that sometimes there are puzzles where you look at them and just go, okay, this is something puzzly to stare at, but also ones where it's more like point and click adventures where it those sorts of things where it's just there is some sort of action that is appropriate here.
Yeah,
that may not just be a type in the answer to a puzzle.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
The idea of like how we've destroyed Micro Ring was very just like tabletop role playing game. Like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah, just a little kind of freedom and planning, yeah, and seeing if the plan works. But luckily, if it was a tabletop role playing thing, it would have been exactly the same, except you would have accidentally rolled a 2 when it comes to dropping the net. And then it all would have gone wrong. We're like, well, I suppose he gets away from the net. And what are you going to do next?
You know what would have happened in an adventure game? Because I basically said, yeah, cut down the net.
Mm.
And in an actual adventure game, it would have happened and it would have been an unwinnable. Whereas you were like, you know what? You can cut this, but it kind of looks like this.
And something tells you there might be a perfect time for this to happen.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you could have like had me lose that real quick. I just have this net and I can't.
That is sort of like the fun thing about doing these sorts of games in this format is that you have a person there to say like, oh, let's, you know, is that really going to work? Take a second thought, or like to sort of to place those limitations to keep everything making sense. And sometimes like it does remind me of some of those old adventure game sorts of things where you have like responses from the game occasionally. You know, like I know you've talked a lot about some of the later King's Quest Quest for Glory games, and I grew up playing a lot of the first one, Quest for Glory 1, back when my version was still called Hero Quest before they
Heroes
had to change
Quest.
The name.
And
you know, there's moments in the game where it's like attack shopkeeper, and suddenly the sort of in-game voice is like, you suddenly feel very peaceful, as if you don't want to attack a shopkeeper. You're like, all right, sure. Sure, man. Okay. And I think sometimes, Danny, you fulfill that role.
That's
more than a game master role or anything else. You're the sassy adventure game text box that says, maybe no, maybe no.
Yeah.
I think that's the goal.
Although I do wonder if you ever wanted to experiment with the format, if you allow save and restore and like put unwinnables, like little soft locks in there or something.
Save and restore would be fun, except it would be odd to punish someone about you never saved, so we'll go back to the start. You arrive at the circus, you're like, oh no.
Yeah, you get people like rage quitting, like, no, that's okay.
We did actually once at an escape room convention during the pandemic, an online escape room convention, someone was running a audio escape room in our sort of style, but they really played with the medium that they were in because they knew that it was being done on a Discord server. And they had a whole thing where you would like you were playing on a cartridge, and as the game went, you could like reload the cartridge and like open it up and change things and edit it.
Cool.
And then the whole room would start again, but the edits you've made were there. So they'd be like, when at first you're like, and there's a bank and it's got a locked door and da-da-da. And then later on, you mess with the cartridge, restart the whole game, and then the person on the call is like, and you know, and there's a bank and the door is, there's no door at all, it's completely missing, and da da da, and you're like, ah, I changed that. And then you, it was a really weird way to play with it, but it had a lot of like starting and
it
stopping.
Was very
and,
impressive. So, done.
That's,
you know,
cool.
There are some people doing some weird things, so I'm sure we could do some saved game shenanigans.
Oh, I'm sure it could exist. It feels daunting on my behalf.
True. You're going to come up with one of these every 2 weeks.
It's terrifying.
My favorite puzzle in this whole thing was the Algernon Jr. with that.
Yeah, and that had that more, as Danny was saying, that's less like solving the puzzle with like a logic puzzle sort of thing. It's more just like noticing that connection.
Yeah.
And you did really well at that. That was really nice. There was a moment where you started like, well, you know, when you put him in the car and drove through the fire, it's like, oh, are they going to remember that he has all these bits and bobs? But you did.
No,
and
we did. Yeah. Because I wanted to know if they were like real or if there was part, if they were like headphone plushies that are just attached. You know what I'm saying? Like this is a plushie that's all, it's all plushy.
You always asked all the right questions. There was nothing that stuck you in this room.
It was very smooth. You went all the way through.
We got to sit back. We didn't have to look at each other and go, all right, what clues do... what's going to be a clue for this moment?
How certain were you that the moment we entered that room, we would want to drive the car through the flaming hoop?
Danny, when you drove the car through the hoop, Danny looked at me and was like, yeah, nice. They're driving the car through the hoop.
Bill, you did it in your playtest as well, which made me very happy to know that it was at least some people's first instinct.
Hey, we noticed that ramp that we that was there for a reason.
First thought was like gonna drive the car through the fire hoop.
And I'm very happy. I don't know whether that's gonna be a universal experience with this. Doesn't matter. I don't rerun these for people. But for people who play these games at home and run these games for other people, I'd be curious to know, is it everyone's instinct to get straight in that car and drive through fire?
Yeah, if you're listening
just
to this.
Matt and I, we're just weirdos. Like, hey, let's do all the things.
I want to hear how many people eat the talcum powder and lick the man's hand.
Yeah,
like,
that number's going to be a little bit lower.
Listen. I was just exploring all avenues. This is police work, and I needed to know. You know, I needed to know.
How many times have you just not, like, it's classic imagery. The police officer walks in, gets the talcum powder on his pinky finger, rubs it on his gums. It's like, that's talcum.
Yeah. So there are some, again, because of the medium that we're in a real escape room, there are very few taste puzzles. I won't say zero because, but they're very difficult to implement in the real world and not always safe. So sometimes we will throw in a taste one.
Now, that is true. How this is only because I'm like an overachiever, right? How do we stack up? How are we compared to other, like, were we fast? Were we slow? Were we?
Oh, look, I mean, obviously it's hard because for these rooms, you know, we make a new one of these every 2 weeks. So we don't play them a huge amount, right? Each individual room.
Yeah.
Like I play tested this one a few days ago before we did the recording. And I think, and there were a few changes. Changes with like the
helpfulness
puzzle
of the clowns.
Oh, the clowns being more helpful. Some, and also,
yeah, somehow they are more helpful.
Yeah, they used to say nothing. But as players, like, it was really, really lovely to hear you play through the room.
Clearly you knew what you were doing. You'd be fine at these because we didn't have to add any extra stuff, any extra clues or anything. I don't think there's going to be anything occasionally, like if a player needs an extra nudge, we will then edit it out of the final recording because hearing us do that nudge won't help. I don't think that's going to happen.
No. And look, most of the time when we nudge people, it is, hey, go back, look at what you've got, look at the things in your inventory, look at, you know, what you've looked at and try and figure out what to do next. And that was something that I think the two of you did very well. Obviously, you know, you have a lot of experience with this type of gameplay, even if we're not this type of game exactly. So you were really good at being like, all right, we've explored this. And what do we have? We still have this thing. We haven't used the flyer or like, I noticed that the flyer had six knives and this had six knives. Was like, you were very
good in
general, like both of you at being like, you never had a moment of going like, oh no, what could we possibly do next? Because you were always sort of paying attention to what you had and banking things away in your head and being like, we'll use this later. So I think you did very well. I think, you know.
There was a minor panic I had that I thought we weren't going to find the final strip of paper. I was like, oh no, we've looked everywhere. I don't know where this paper is. I'm going to look.
I felt
stupid.
The same way.
You did?
I was so much like, oh God, I thought we looked everywhere. What if we embarrassed ourselves trying to find this piece of this last scrap?
Yeah.
And then next move. I think possibly my favorite part listening to you was with that knife puzzle of you just speculating, maybe this is silly, but let's put knives in the thing. I don't know, maybe a secret door will open up or something.
Yeah, I mean, so the thing about, I was going to, so to return to the, like, I was afraid we weren't going to find the scrap, and then the irony about where we found it is the other thing I was thinking at that moment was, also, let's go, we should go look at the outside, like, we should walk the perimeter of the tent from the outside, which we didn't need to do because we never got stuck, right? We found the scrap, and
you
then
found
we just
the only thing
rolling
to find outside. Mm-hmm. But I wondered about that and how, where, to what extent that might be a stumbling block of, you know, this hallway is here, you can just walk straight through it.
Right.
How do I increase discomfort with that idea so you want an alternative?
Stick a mic in there.
Right.
I was worried there because you sort of went, okay, well, we'll go back through the tunnel and da da da. And I was thinking, the same thing. And Rose, it was really lovely for you to then, again, like, remain in character in that moment, be like, yeah, but I don't want to go past that creep again. Is there any alternative to avoid the creepy guy? Which, if you were stuck in, like, pure, like, and this is I think the benefit of having character while you're playing or, like, paying attention and feeling the situation that you're in, is that some people who are, like, really puzzle heavy will be like, yeah, but that's fine, that doesn't break a puzzle, so I'm just going to walk past the guy and go to the other room. And, like, feeling like, oh, he's a creep, I'd rather avoid him and all that, usually lends itself to success in these sorts of games, or at least in the ones that Danny writes. Because
it's so perfect for, like, role-playing, like, a character. That's why this was so fun, I think. Like, I'm a detective, am I? Well, that's right up my alley.
Whenever I'm role playing, I always think of, like, what is the thing a human wouldn't do, and, like, the funniest possible thing a person could do there. So, like, my instinct would have been like, let's go hang out with Mike for a minute. if we had been able to climb the ladder, I would have climbed it and just jumped down into the net. Like, I would have.
And this is why it's good that Danny can put the brakes on some of these ideas.
I loved conversing with Mike. I had my initial script for Mike, which God knows where that went eventually with all that extra conversation. But his initial lines I had all written down with calling people my subject. That was an in-character moment for me because that was written there. I don't remember writing that. I don't remember that being noteworthy.
That's amazing.
He picked right up on it.
Yeah, it's interesting, Roses. It's so good that you were like, let's not go past Mike. Because, we would have gone back through, we would have re-looked at everything, we would have gotten stumped, and then I would have been, okay, let's go look at the outside.
If you'd gone back to the main room, that would have been the moment that I got up and made a cup of tea and just, like, Danny, tell me when they're done.
I do have a note in here for if you try to go back, gentle dissuading
first.
Really?
What's the gentle dissuading?
Oh, I don't know. Mike's a creep. You really don't want to. Is there?
Right.
You have the door and Mike goes, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't stop you, but just a little bit more emphasis on the fact that it won't be fun. You won't feel good about this. Yeah. But I'm glad that it went quickly and that it didn't come to going back, because it hits that point where the solution to it being go take a look outside is one thing. But if it is you look in one tent, look at everything, go into another tent, look at everything, go back to the first tent, double check everything, and then you're told the solution is to go outside, that can almost, if you've been doing it for long enough, feel like that irritable, oh, well, I thought that was against the rules.
If I could go outside, why don't I just go down the road and call the police or something?
I was going to go look at the... I was also thinking of going to look at the ripped tent opening and see if, now that we have sort of a pattern in our heads, if we can see a fourth sequence.
But I figured the description we got when I looked at it was just like, it matches. I'm like, okay, I don't think there's anything.
Right.
So this is one of the things, this changed from the playtest to this version.
And when putting it out there, I think I'd still probably tweak it a little bit more.
Tiny bits. Because originally, one door had the colors and the other door, the entry door, had all of those shapes all together as one
door. No ripped, no searching.
And it was just a little bit too simple. It was just like, well, these two things match, done, 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 do it all. I was like, if we tease the other one out, it first of all, like, it adds more rewards in lots of places. So that's like, did you decide to search there? Here's a little thing for you. Did you decide to search here? here's a little thing for you, and gave us more opportunity to give you those things.
But also giving them in separated out columns just makes you have to do that hint more work.
Yeah, because the order then, like, you have to figure out which one. Like, before, it was like the top one matches the top one. The second one matches the second one. It's pretty obvious. Right. Whereas this, you had to be like, which of these could start and end with, this one has the same symbol at the top and the bottom.
And, yeah. I think with more, could adjust challenge? The difficulty, essentially, make the patterns more ambiguous so that... Right.
Have some of the things like missing on the shape, like the shapes could be missing ones, but they match the colors.
Yeah, who knows?
The colors are missing ones and they match. You could add, you could make it more complicated.
Basically, expand difficulty.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I have all of it written down and drawn, and I knew what kind of puzzle that was. And logically in my head, I knew how to get to it, but Matt is way better at that. So I'm like, you know what? Matt can do this one. Matt, like, you play games like, you know, Myst and The Witness, which are very heavy on puzzles just like that.
I like puzzles like that. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what the draw is. I think it's just like I get puzzles to tell myself I'm smart.
100%.
Yeah, puzzles make you feel smart.
This is why I do trivia.
Your brain is set up to enjoy that solution moment, and you get dopamine of like, yeah, nice, you did a thing, maybe that makes you survive better or something, I don't know, like it is true, like that's the moment that, like, in a lot of these rooms when we talk about them as Danny's writing them, it's like there are, you know, there's like puzzle in terms of solving problems, and then there's usually like a puzzle, like a real puzzle, like a puzzle, and that was our puzzle for the room. And like, yeah, Myst and is a game that has puzzles in it. It's like,
right,
you get to a spot and then like, and now do this puzzle. They're thematic, they're part of the world, they make sense, but it is like
sometimes
this is a puzzle to do. And like The Witness is all puzzles.
It was like a nice balance between like, here's like a Myst style puzzle, like what we would call logic puzzle on our podcast. And then like more of a dreamy Moon Logic-y puzzle. Not that these puzzles were out there or anything, but more.
Yeah, there was nothing.
Like,
there was no classic Sierra nonsense.
Right. But like, you know, to put the sunglasses on, you know, the things on the clowns and luring with the blood. I think those are less mathematical.
Yeah.
Whereas some of those are more mathematical.
Yeah, and it's good. I think it's good to vary those things up.
Yeah, coming up with puzzly puzzles is the last thing I do if I'm creating a room. So I always like to have at least one, but typically they will happen last, which means there is often more in the other direction.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah,
you're just like
Danny's notes will be like, you know, all the story, all the characters, all the things that connect, and then it'll be like, and then like you'll do a puzzle to make that work.
Yeah, I'll just write the
word. There's like a lock.
There's an arrow lock. And a word puzzle, and then much later it will turn into a puzzle.
A combination lock is like a really good way to do that, right? Because you're just like, okay, this is contained, right? Like it's
exactly. You just got to come up with obstacles before
else. Doesn't break the world, but it always makes me think. I think about this with escape room stuff all the time, is like, who did this? Right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Who was the person who owned a circus and was writing all this stuff down? And who tore the door off and hid all the scraps all around? Like, what? Yeah.
Flea rage.
Flea rage. Please love to rip doors.
My favorite is when you're doing one of those adventure games that takes place in like somebody's mansion and you're going through and it's like every room is locked behind all these doors. It's like, how's that person? If that person wakes up in the middle of the night and has to go to the bathroom, like are they sitting there like comparing like the symbols in one book to like the, yeah. Mm.
And it's interesting because, like, sometimes they're just like, it's a puzzle game, don't worry about it. And then sometimes they'll be like, no, this character. Like, we were just, for the first time, played through Seventh Guest.
Sorry, I got a visceral reaction to that game. Too,
Have you played VR Seventh Guest?
That's what we started with. We started with the VR remake, which is a
puzzles
complete
completely different.
Read it all, the puzzles, read everything. It's really good. The VR remake is it's also fun in VR.
Yeah, I loved
really
it
good.
So much.
And then we,
and
went,
then we went back and played the
and
original.
Played the original, we streamed it.
Which was fascinating.
And a lot more of those are like one of the puzzles in that game now is unsolvable. It's a game that you have to play against a computer.
Yes.
Yeah, it's called a tax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now, you have to go. This is the only way I think you can solve it now, is you have to go to, like, an external...
Another AI.
We found a second AI.
That plays it. Yep. You have to use it. Is that what you guys
did? And just hope that your AI is better than their AI. Yes, exactly. It depends
50% of the time.
Yeah, exactly. It's 50-50. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It was a lot of fun to play through. It's better in VR, but it's fun to stream the original.
The VR one. Is it just for Oculus?
We have it on the Oculus. I'm sure it's on.
I think it's on other stuff as well. But it's really good. Love all of it. They've got new actors, and I think they're great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I was gonna ask. Yeah, is the story and the acting still as horrible as it was in the old one?
The story, perhaps, but the acting.
Minor changes.
They do a lot better. The other thing they do really well, I think, is in the original game, they just give you a huge amount of story up front, whereas the VR version sort of rewards you with snippets of the story as you go in a way that's much more easily to digest and keeps your interest
very
better.
Very good.
Which is very nice. But one of the elements of that game is, like, you're in a house full of crazy puzzles. Why? Because a crazy man is like, welcome to my house full of crazy puzzles. You're like, all right, now it's like, why is this door locked behind a weird puzzle? Oh, yeah, because a strange guy... who loves dolls, is like, my doll puzzle will stomp you.
I remember this one time I was doing an escape room, and it was supposed to be like Sherlock Holmes's office.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And it was like, there was a bunch of teacups, and at the bottom of the teacups were the leaves were in the vague shapes of astrological signs, and then you matched those to certain cards, and then you put these cards and these things, and then it opens his roll top desk. And I was like, what if he just needs a pen? Like, is he coming in here? He's like, okay, hold on, I'll get you a pen. It'll be like 10 minutes.
But see, what you don't understand is that's a puzzle for you, but for him, that's as clear as just writing out the code. In
yeah. He's done it a million times.
He just quickly glances at the leaves in the cup. He's, oh, of course, those are the astrological symbols that match to this thing. It must be 7123, of course.
God forbid the maid comes in and cleans those cups.
Oh, she ended up so mad. And she'll be like, I'm so sorry, upset. Mr. Holmes. I was just trying to keep things clean in here.
Yeah.
Sorry. All right. Welcome back to the show.
So, Roses, in actual physical escape rooms, the skills that you have of these observations and being able to make those sorts of connections, especially visual connections, I'm often rubbish at those. I don't notice my surroundings very often, but that is so valuable in actual rooms. It's often you can't solve certain puzzles without it.
Now I feel inspired. Now I either want to try one or write one for Matt for seeing.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you should. We've got plenty of episodes of this show that talk about how to write these escape rooms. So you could write one.
And we've had lots of guest GMs who talk about their different processes, things like that. All of our notes are available for free, so you can see what those look like.
Nice.
Or we could just take over the guest
super
spot
inspired.
Yeah,
we could just take over the guest spot on your show, and we are the guests every time from now until eternity.
You could do that too.
What's your availability like?
Yeah,
I'm a YouTuber, so I'm available all the time. Just sitting over here.
it is fun, and if you find one that looks cool,
You can always steal one of ours and just do that between you.
Ooh, that sounds like fun, Matt. We have to do this. Sounds like fun.
Yeah, all these rooms, everything that Danny uses to run them is available for free. Linked in each episode, so everyone can run them at home. And if you want to run them on your show, feel free.
Nice.
Just credit us. Just say I'm running it. Just tell them where it came from first. Hold on a second.
But if you get inspired, if you write your own, you can come here and run it for us as well.
Yeah, come and run it.
That would be amazing.
Have people done that on your 12. Show?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a lot
people
of guests
come and run ones for you.
Okay. Who've run them and they write their own. They come on and some of them are.
It's a welcome respite for me.
Yeah.
Every episode will be
sandwiched
nice.
Between two guest episodes, I think.
Oh, wow. Are you guys ever like, wow, these amateurs?
Honestly, we do no vetting. And we've never not been pleasantly surprised. Like, it's always good.
Nice. Oh, wow.
It's been really lovely. Occasionally you see ones where you're like, oh, okay, like, you have to sort of get to know their style, because this is a big thing that happens. Like, Matt, you had a very escape roomy sort of habit of whenever you saw something, you're like, but wait, I don't trust you. Can
let's
I look
underneath? Let's check
the back.
Let's check around. Let's check behind.
And generally for us, we don't have that in our rooms much anymore. We generally never, we used to early on would reward that more. Like, you never looked under the bucket, but
I can imagine. I don't know of any text parsing games that did this, but you can totally imagine where you clicked one and said, look in chest, and it described what was in the chest. But the real solution was to type, look harder in chest.
Yeah, look better.
Right.
So we don't really do that.
That definitely existed. Yeah, right? That was definitely a thing in some early text parser games.
But whenever you have a new person, like when we have a guest come on and run one of their games,
we have to learn their feel.
Yeah, you have to find that balance of like, and usually the first time he investigates, I'll be like, I look at the chair, and they're like, it's a chair. And I'm like, now, just to check, because I don't know, like, you know, your style of this, I look under the chair. Can I flip the chair? And like, you get a feeling for what they expect.
And
some people expect that.
You test out putting certain codes and locks and things that you're pretty sure aren't right, but you don't quite know how they think yet.
Because I think this happens a lot, and it comes up in adventure games. It comes up in a lot of stuff. Is like, not just the style of the person, right? Like, you obviously, you know, if you play like an old game from the 90s, you try weirder stuff because you're like, these games are weirder. They usually required some, you know, because it's not like there was a company overseeing these as much as it was like three guys chilling in a basement like, oh, make them do this. All right, cool, man. And so you try weirder stuff because you know back then culturally it was a little bit weirder. And so much of like solving puzzles and doing rooms is about trust with the thing that's running it, right? And and knowing what they would possibly expect. And so when we have guests on, you sort of you play around a little with that trust at first. Be like, what can I trust that you'll do? Like, you know, should I assume this will have a good answer? Or I'll just quickly try the bad answer in case that's right.
But yeah, we've never had to tell someone, oops, your data got corrupted because their room was too bad for us to air. That's never happened.
Everyone who's run a room for us, it's been really lovely. And it's always worked. So far, it's been great.
That's awesome. That's really cool. I mean, this whole thing was just so fun. Let's do it.
It'll be this horrific combination of logic puzzles and just interrogative dialogue trees.
Perfect. Dialogue tree is a great thing to go into. We don't really, like you were saying, I think between the episodes, Roses, and sorry Matt, I know I cut you off a little bit.
No, it's fine.
You know, you were saying you might be more suited to playing Solve This Murder, the Escape This podcast, because, you know, Solve This Murder has more of that, right? Solve This Murder is all interrogative dialogue tree. It's all just like, this person knows some facts, talk to them until you discover all the facts, then collect them all, and then solve the sort of big overarching sort of murder puzzle sort of thing at the end. Whereas, in these,
it's just because
like
I write
NPC,
them and I suck at improv, so I try not to have too much going on with the NPCs.
Yeah, so generally, it's like, there's not a huge amount of value to interrogating someone too hard. So I love the idea of doing one of these as an Escape This podcast with some very, like, no, you have to ask the right questions in the right way.
Yeah, get very contradiction
it,
about
which
it.
Which I like.
That's why I kept trying to force the clowns to talk to me. Like, I know you know something.
I just finished playing just last night Her Story, and it was, you know, you don't actually get to interrogate the
You're just watching, I haven't played it, you're watching videos and stuff of her, right?
You're watching videos of her, like, she has been interrogated by detectives, and you're only seeing her responses, you don't see the questions, you don't, and in small little video clips, and then you're sort of combing through this footage using keyword tags.
Oh,
to,
that's so cool. I like that.
That's really nice.
Right, and then you're seeing different. So there's no point in the game where it says, okay, what's the solution? Mm. You just have to, at some point in your own head, in your own life, think, okay, I think I understand the story enough that I am ready to put this game down.
It's really good. Like, if you guys haven't played it at all, I so recommend it. It's so
your
good.
Your show is basically just a list of things to add to our to play and to buy list.
I think about that sometimes. Is like, we talk about so many adventure games on our show, and we like that there is no way a listener could possibly keep up with all the games that we recommend.
I was shocked at how many. I thought you were going to mention, like, talk about two per episode, and then you just kept sort of going and mentioning more, and I went, you're going to run out. And yeah, apparently not, but...
I expect as we go on further, it'll be a little less, right? Like, I expect that we will, because right now we're still talking about all the games that we've played our entire lives, because we're only, what, 8 episodes in. At some point, we'll have exhausted those, and we'll just be talking about the 2 games that we've played this week, so.
Yeah, you'll have done all the precursor stuff.
It's like how when somebody writes their second album, right? They talk about how, like, you had your entire life to write this first album, and your second album you write in like 2 years.
Yeah.
Right.
I feel like you can find some similarity to how this goes. When we have a guest game master on, it's because they've usually got one room. They could have spent months honing it compared to mine, which, like, that's what they can feel big and sprawling and expansive and really impressive compared to mine, which are fast.
Yeah.
And little. Sure.
You got another one coming soon.
But still very good. And, like, you guys have such a sense of joy over this and enthusiasm. Like, hey, listen, I don't know how, if this is just your entertainer facade, but I suspect it's not. You guys seem, like, really into this, and it's contagious.
Ah, that's so nice.
It's so well written.
As soon as we get off this call, we might go, whew, and just eat and not talk for a little bit. But in general, I don't think there's anything fake about what we're doing.
No, it's so well written. It's everything I love about adventure games. You know, getting to role play a little bit, observation in puzzles, you know?
And I think, and I'll say this so that Danny, because Danny never could, I think that that is a really big part of what makes these rooms so nice and this sort of show work so well, is that Danny is, before being a puzzle designer or a game person, fundamentally Danny is a writer, right? And and knows how to, like...
I can tell.
And that's why I think we're both, like, in terms of the flow of the language works really well, but also, like... you get a sense of who the characters are and what the place is. Except for that poor knife thrower.
They
didn't have a name.
Yeah.
We
named him Jeff.
Jeff.
Apparently.
But I think it helps when you're playing that, like, and when I play these as well, it's like you can get caught into that moment and, like, you go, oh, I care now about the circus. So I want to do this. So I want to, like, I don't want to go talk to Mike because he's a bit of a weirdo. I'm going to go this way.
I hope for that, because, like, we've played some rooms and just some other games with people who are unbelievable puzzle designers. Mm. And I know I have designed a lot of puzzles, but I still find it very hard to think of myself as a puzzle designer, because that's just not where I am coming from when I do these. Right. I like stories, which is funny, because when I do real escape rooms, I'm all about the puzzle. Stories are great, but I like impressive puzzles more than impressive story. But I am definitely coming from a storytelling angle.
Yeah.
I think what helps is that you have a very concise style. Like, you point out the interesting details and the important details, so we got a sense of everything that was strictly important, and then we got a sense of everything that was that built the world without getting much cruft, right? There was very few, if any, times that I was like, okay, is she mentioning that for a specific reason? And you weren't, right?
Yeah. I think that is true, right? And I think part of that works so well is this sort of role-playing sort of audio style, where you can basically say, and I think we did at one point, just kind of be like, they look like clowns. So we don't need to describe
Need to describe too much of a circus, because you're painting that picture in your head. You get circus.
You're 80% of the way there. Now I'll tell you the important parts of this circus.
That was
the highlightable features.
Yeah.
That was such an interesting thing, too, because I was like, oh, there's 3 clowns. There must be something. And it was just, we had to scare them so they covered their eyes and ears and mouth, right?
My aggressive interrogative skills finally come in handy.
Oh, yeah, it fit.
And I don't know if you guys know this, but on a recent episode of our show, Rose has even said, she was like, I like any game with a circus in it.
I was going to bring so that up.
So no, we haven't hit that part yet.
It is so interesting that you guys put us in a circus.
I was going to say something. I'm like, so did you design this for me? Because I love, bizarrely,
not even a little bit. And yet when we started chatting with you and getting you on, I just went, great. Like the whole adventure game thing, this already fits. I'm hoping that this will click right. Hey, one of the two rooms that I have right now as three rooms that I could choose between, one of them is a little bit mystery detective-y, goosebumps-y, weird setting like that.
Yeah.
I'm kind of getting the impression this one might be the one.
Yeah, it's everything that I love circuses. I love adventure games that have circuses in them. I love being a detective. And yeah, it's just all that is like the perfect room for me.
The hardest part was coming up with a title for the room that wasn't already taken by Goosebumps, because Goosebumps likes their circuses.
They do. And shut up, Matt. We needed to taste the I needed to know it could have been poison.
That's why you don't taste it.
Yeah.
Listen.
You know that famous murder tactic where you put poison dust on a ladder so the person climbing the ladder will maybe lick their hands?
And when they
hands?
See the dust, they won't be able to help themselves. They'll lick the dust right off the rungs.
We have an older room from some seasons back where it is essentially, as soon as you wake up in the room, it is because you have been poisoned by a witch and are now trapped in there and you need to make yourself an antidote out of stuff in there. Mm. I assume that your method would be to just lick everything just on the off chance.
You gotta see. Also, I was like, oh, is the ladder sabotaged? I want to know what is on these ladders if they're sabotaged, you know?
Well, it's that's like in Skyrim, right? You eat every ingredient and you get a little tiny bit of the effect. So then when you brew it into a potion.
That's how you find out.
I'm just saying, I am pretty sure that J.B. Fletcher from Murder, She Wrote smelled and tasted some stuff that was on the floor. I'm 80% certain.
And her facial expression afterwards always told you that it was the right decision.
Yeah, exactly. She's very intuitive.
Wonderful. All right. Well, I think we can leave the episode there. Thank you so much for coming on and playing through the room. It was wonderful to have both of you on.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Very well. Before
Absolutely
you go,
anytime. That was great.
Would you like to give a plug of where people can find Save Your Game as a show and what they can expect? We've sort of talked about it a little bit already, so.
Yeah,
but this is a whole new episode.
Yeah, Matt, you can. Why don't you take it, Matt?
Yeah, you can just look up Save Your Game. There's some old defunct podcast called the same thing. How do people narrow us? Well, you can find us on like Twitter or one of those websites, and we'll have links to it. But it's the Save Your Game with the old school looking point and click save menu as a logo.
Yes.
And we'll have links for...
Yeah, well, I'll put a link in the show notes as well so people can click through and find the right Save Your Game.
It's the podcast that's not dead. It's the one that's currently...
Yeah, it's the living podcast.
Yes, the living one.
The one that's not sponsored by Red Bull.
And now you have to keep it going forever, because once this episode is out there, 10 years from now, people are going to hear it and be looking for the one that's still going.
Looking for the living one.
Exactly.
Well, look, thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you, Danny, for running it. And thank you, everybody, for listening at home. If you are listening at home, that's you're the audience. You're who this is for. So thank you so much for listening. If you want to help support the show, tell someone about it. Tell a friend, tell an enemy, tell anybody. Jump on a forum somewhere and be like, every podcast is bad compared to this one, and then talk about ours. However it works. Word of mouth is the biggest way to get people to listen to new podcasts, especially. You can also support the show on Patreon. Anybody who signs up for any level can appear as an NPC in one of Danny's rooms.
Yeah, so thank you so much, Emily Frosina. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Mike Ring, and of course, Algernon Q. Sprenkelschnitt. Not Jeff. Sorry, Jeff. Next time.
We were very happy to find we were looking for a name for a ringmaster and found Mike Ring and went, great, perfect.
Beautiful.
That fits. Done. There's also bonus episodes. $5 donors get a new episode every week of behind the scenes audio or a whole new series, a whole separate series of us solving little 2-minute mysteries and bonus content and all this fun stuff.
Roses, I think you mentioned right at the start of the last episode, escape rooms featuring in various pop culture and sitcoms and stuff. We also do video content on our Patreon where we react to some of those.
Yes, nice, for $10 donors.
And critique them.
There's trivia for $20. There's a whole bunch of fun stuff. So, and look, that's how you support the show. We don't have any ads on the show. So if you want to keep
also,
it all going.
Just... For any level of donation, you can help me by making choices in the interactive fiction.
Oh, yes.
Choose your own adventure style that I am writing. A lot of the paths have been found.
It's almost done.
So jump in now while you still can.
But thank you, everybody. And if you can't support us on Patreon, that's also fine. Just listen, tell a friend, right? This art should be free. And people who donate are just helping keep the art free. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, for playing. And thank you, everybody, for running the room.
Thank you for being clowns when I needed
I
some improv.
Was a clown. Thank you to Werner Herzog for voicing out
a really good clown.
All right, bye, everybody.
Bye.